So this is June 20th, 2019, and this is our third call in the Loving Kindness series. We're starting a little bit late today because we had some technical difficulties with Zoom and the record function. So we're finally recording. Zoom recognized me as the host, finally did some, press some magic buttons. And so hopefully you've been in your own Shavasana for a few minutes. We're just going to take 2 minutes. That's actually not a bad practice because sometimes we only have 2 minutes. So how do you drop into that state of Shavasana in just a moment? And you can rejuvenate your energy in 2 minutes if that's all you have. So lying comfortably, eyes closed, body released to the earth. Let the eyes sink back toward the back brain. And that's what makes Shavasana come. Release the eyes, drop the eyes back, pratyahara. Then watch the breath. Whatever happened moments before, it's past, it's gone, doesn't matter. Watch the breath. Be the breath, just be. Each exhalation is a release, letting go of what came before. We never actually even know if there's going to be another inhalation, so the practice of Shavasana is a deep letting go. Exhaling, letting go of attachments, letting go of what came before. Letting go of the need for anything to be any particular way. Watch the breath. And in this moment, know that all is well. This breath, this moment, all is well. And that's enough. It's everything. And letting go of Shavasana as easily as you came in. Feel the breath. Let the breath deepen. Roll over onto the right side. Bend the knees. Roll over to the right side. Support your head. Softly open the eyes, press yourself up to sitting, and return to our virtual circle. Always camera on. It's really wonderful to be seen. Camera on when you can. And let's hear from one of you. What was this experience of Shavasana? Different way to enter in. I was busy working pretty quickly to solve the problem so we could have the class and have the recording for those who aren't here live. What was your mind doing while that was going on? What was your practice like? It's a really great practice. Sometimes there's stuff happening. Where are you? One of the things I learned at Peak Potentials is like how to be the eye of the storm. Whatever's swirling around you, can you be at your center? So let's hear from one of you today. What did you love about this practice today? What did you notice? And Yvonne, thanks for letting people know. Thanks for the note. Yeah, Grace, go ahead.
I rushed to get here because I just finished a class. It was supposed to be 2 hours. It was 2.5 hours just up the street at our church. It was invigorating. And yet there was so much that I wanted to share with them. And I knew I had this hard stop. So we did the hard stop. I get here and it's just like, oh, good. The Zoom malfunctioned. I'm going to be able to be part of
relief for you.
Calm down.
I love it. And Grace didn't have to have that story. Do you get it? She decided to have that story. And it's a practiced habit. It's a practice habit of thought. It's a practice story. Everything happens for a reason. That reason is there to serve me. How cool is that? for the first time in, I don't know how long, I mean, months, maybe years, we're starting late. That Zoom technical difficulty has never happened, though I can remember. And so it's perfect. Everything is all perfect. Let's actually, I want to hear from one more of you. So I want to know what you experienced that you loved, Jasmine. And Sherry, goodness, lots going on today. Jasmine.
Yeah, well, you know, the kind of morning that I had. And so when I first showed up and everyone's videos were off and like, things were not normal, and I was like, oh, no, this is exactly what I needed today. How is it not here? Hear your voice and say that, you know, we're going to be getting to it, and like to be in Shavasana and to center myself was like a really good practice to, you know, think about that abundance mindset and how this call will be here and that there is plenty of time for us to be engaging in this work.
Love that. Taking a breath, all is well. And what if it's just perfect for me, and noticing the moment where I feel like it's not, and then regrouping and coming back to that alignment. It doesn't matter how many times we're knocked out of that alignment. We just come right back. And Shavasana teaches that. Oh, my mind went over here. Oh, I'm back. Oh, now I'm worried about this. Oh, I'm back. Oh, now I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for supper. Oh, I'm back. Oh, I'm just moved to this ecstatic joy and something about, oh, wait, I'm back to here. Whatever this moment is. Love it. Yes. Thank you, Jasmine. Good. Sherry.
I've had already a very busy morning, and I was kind of rushing to be here, and I was thinking, oh, I might miss Shavasana, and I got here and I was able to get everything all set up, and it was different in a Shavasana, and it was like, oh, okay, I'll create my own space, and it's focus on the breath. I'm focus on the breath and let everything else go and just be present. And it gave me a chance to, as you had said, gather my energy and be present, ready for what's next.
Mm. It doesn't have to be the way I expected. It all works out. And that we, when we can have that experience here, it's translatable. It's like I just create that practiced habit that all is well. And what we were learning last week is a huge way to do that. So, thank you for this. I love this open. Wasn't the one that I expected either. It's all perfect. All right. Which way do I want to enter in today? I knew how I was going to enter in, and then at about 20 after, I had this other idea of something, a way that I wanted to enter in, and I just want to take a moment here with you. Yes, right. So I want to ask you about, because we've had, it feels to me like the last loving kindness call was ages ago, and it was only a week ago, because we've had two Q&A calls in different formats since then, and some amazing questions. Did anybody make it to both of those calls? A couple of you, one of you, maybe you made it to both of those calls. Grace, I know you made it to both calls. How many of you made it to at least one of those calls? The Q&A call. Yeah. Okay. And how many didn't know about the calls or weren't there for various reasons, and it's all good. Yeah. So I'd be proud. Thank you, Carly, right at the center of my screen. So I would love for one or two of you to share some ahas that you remember, some things that stayed with you from those calls. It's not a test. Sometimes we approach that just, oh my goodness, I don't remember. What am I supposed to say? Just let all that go. If something is bubbling up in one of you about something you recall, from that, goodness, it was several hours of amazing questions and amazing content. If you weren't there, you're going to want to go back to both of those Q&A calls. What would you like to share? Just so that there's like one little piece of insight that others can grab onto. And if it feels like 100 years ago and you can't recall, that's okay too. Yeah, Yvonne.
One of the things that stood out for me in the last call was I get to create what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in charge. I'm in the driver's seat.
I end up, and this happens at more subtle levels than we think in our companies. I got to do it like this person because that's how it's doing. That's how it's being done. When I didn't do a podcast, everyone around me was doing one. Right. And I had some friends that, you know, they ended up gathering 100,000 people to their podcasts, and it didn't, yeah, it did some work for them, but not the work that it might have done. And it was a lot of work and a lot of time and intensity. And so, do I want to go that way? I'm not saying podcasts are good or bad. I'm saying what's, you know, that I get to create it in the way that I want to. And there are subtle ways that I don't realize that are, you know, having me craft it, like my family or my church or this business mentor or this thing that I heard, or the way that the universe around us is saying that business has to go. It doesn't have to be so. I get to choose. I get to be in the driver's seat of my story. I can create whatever business I want. Really powerful. Yes. Thank you, Yvonne. Let's hear one more. What else did you gather from those Q&A calls? Anything else you want to share? Yeah. Grace and then Marla. Grace, go ahead.
I think for me is get organized. Organize what I have. What are the two takeaways? One is get organized. That was really pressing to say, well, what is it that I have on my shop floor? Let's put it together. And then to find out what my clients really want, what they really need. Mm-hmm. Find that out, because it's there on my shop floor. I could serve them.
It's so simple. It is right here that we don't do it. But the power of the words that you just said, it's just immense. And that get organized, I remember how you came to the call at the end and then the beginning and then the end. There's so many things rolling for you. It's one stage of business that we get to. It's like, wow, now there's this opportunity, that opportunity, that opportunity. We can get a little scattered from the up-leveling of our lives and our business, which I think is part of what's happening for you now, Grace. It's like so many opportunities and people come to us with possibilities and more ideas and so on. So then, breath, what do I want? Back to Yvonne's point, right? What do I want? Get it organized. And here's the stuff lying on the floor. And here's the thing. Here's where what I have lying on the floor intersects with what this person is saying they want. And they match up, and it's very easy then to have people enter into a conversation, to close a sale, to land a word, have words that land in a speaking engagement, and so on. Just from these simple things that you've suggested here, Grace. Thank you. Beautiful, Marla. What did you hear? We did many things, right? There will be as many different things heard as people who are there, and more, Marla.
I think it was the reminder that we know what to say because we listen and we ask our clients or our...
Right. And that was, if I remember right, that was in response to, was that the one that was in response to the question that Marie was asking? Yes. Yeah. Great question. Great answer. And it was really funny too, because like, oh, listen to your clients. And I think that was Yvonne's suggestion, wasn't it? And Yvonne happens to be one of Marie's clients. It's like, listen to what they're saying and they will tell you. What is it that they want? They're right in front of you. Sometimes they're right in front of our noses. We just ask them. We do all these special, like we jump through all these different hoops. It's like, oh, what do you actually want? And you guys can see me all the time saying, hey, what are your questions? What are your questions? And here's a survey. And even in this company, we could do more of that. You grow it piece by piece, but there's nothing stopping you from just having a coffee with, it doesn't have to be high tech. We have higher tech versions of it than we used to. You can go for coffee with a client, a potential client, and say, hey, what are you looking for? That actually is like the basis of a strategy session, right? So Marla, thank you. Beautiful. So again, please go back to those calls. That was unprecedented in this community. That was a bonus for all of you guys, the call on Monday. Was that Monday? And some really, really great stuff there. So, and just a couple of announcements. I don't even have my calendar, my Love Your Words calendar in front of me, but I have my wall calendar. And on it is the 2-hour workshop that's happening on Monday. Right? So just a reminder that at 2 p.m. on Monday, now make sure you register for it. There should be emails in your inbox that say register here. And because it's going to be a different Zoom code than this one, different Zoom link. So make sure you register, so then you'll get the information about how to be on that call. And we're doing so many unprecedented things in this company these days. I would say I've done one prototype, one early version of this call that Mary Kay was on, actually, because I did it. I believe you were on that last summer with Karen's community. But that was a year ago. So much has transpired since then. And that's the closest I've ever come to doing a workshop like the one that we're going to do. And we're on, only Mary Kay has been there, and we're going to do that on steroids, because I just, you know, because we also will have our community there, as many of you are able to make it. This is a call that you can invite friends to. I have never, ever had a workshop like this, ever, that I can recall, where people had that kind of access. And we're just suggesting a $20 donation to eWomen. You don't even have to do that. So it's something you can send a link to your friends to and have them register. And if you are an affiliate, you're definitely going to want to do that, because it's another one of those inroads to, if somebody joins and you're an affiliate and somebody joins our community, that's an easy, $2,000 check for you guys. So that's a great, great entry road. We won't have another one like this for a while. So Monday, 2:00, how many of you are planning to be there? Have that on your calendar. I know we made a switch for the dates. Fantastic. Whole bunch of you. And Grace, I know we switched the dates on you, but you were at the other calls and you'll get the recording. Sometimes that happens and hopefully it's been worth it for you. I always want to try to, if we need to make a change, make sure that you win in that. And if you ever don't win, reach out to me and tell me, hey, Michelle, I need something, right? So never suffer in silence. Like Jasmine reaching out to me this morning going like, oh, I just posted the question, please check. And she texted me so that I saw her questions. That was great. Just reach out when you need things, okay? And then, of course, we have our calls. So we've got a couple calls next week. The 2-hour workshop on the 24th. We've got our loving kindness call 4 on the 27th, our usual time. And then we have 2 calls the week after that as well. Practical applications. The first call in the series is July 2nd. And then July 4th is a love and kindness call, call 5. And for those of you who are in the U.S., I'm sorry, we booked a call on July 4th. I'm Canadian. Right? It slipped past us. So if you can't make it, you'll have that in the recording. Or maybe you can slip away from festivities for a bit. I don't know. So with apologies, we'll try not to do that again. But usually we have Amy to remind us, wait, Michelle, it's a really important day. It is why we start practical applications on the 2nd instead of the 4th for our American friends. But we'd already set loving kindness on the 4th. And if there's somebody you know who should be at practical applications, we're not going to do this for quite a while again. Please send them my way. I'd be happy to talk to them. And my calendar is really booked right now. But if it's someone that you are putting in front of me, I will make time. And, you know, if you ask Emily, we spent quite a bit of time just trying to carve out a few spaces on my calendar over July and August. It took us a long, long time. So if you know somebody that should be talking to me, I will listen to you guys first and I will make sure they've got time on my calendar. And that's not going to be true even when I'm speaking at eWomen coming up in July. So some of you know, when I speak at eWomen, I usually we're putting on half as many spots as we've had in the past open, because I just don't have it on my calendar. So please reach out and let me know if there's somebody that you want me to talk to, because there's lots going on this summer. All right, let me see. Wins. Let's hear just 1 or 2 quick wins, just a 1-sentence, 2-sentence. Great way to gather the energy. There's always space for the training and questions on the calls. Make sure we have that. Jasmine, go. Yeah, Jasmine.
So just from posting on Facebook, I booked my first strategy session with my first prospective client, who is absolutely said, like, if I could afford it, I would definitely work with you as a coach. And so we're going to work with that and, you know, see what we can do to change that mindset, because if that's the only thing holding him back, I think that we have someone who's going to be a client.
That's so fantastic, Jasmine. It might be now, might be later, no attachment, but so exciting to host that to do that strategy session. It puts you a million miles ahead, yeah. Million miles. It doesn't even matter what the outcome is, a million miles ahead of the not doing it. You've entered the game. It's so exciting. And then, one of the things that's one of the reasons I like that phrase of, we're just going to find the best next step for you. I don't know if it's, could be something I can help you with. It could be somebody else. It could be something in your own corp or whatever it is. We'll find that best next step, because people want that best next step. Nobody ever taught me that. I just started doing that. And it just seems like everybody taught something different. But I really like that, because that's actually what I do on strategy sessions. And then it's like all this stuff about, it might not be anything I can help you with. I don't know. We'll just see if there's a fit between what I do and what you're looking for. And we'll help you no matter what that is. And that really diffuses a lot of that anxiety that people have. And then you can have a genuine a real conversation. So, you know, so happy for you. Fantastic win. Really excited. Keep us posted what happens on the other side. And what, no matter what happens, count all the wins all the way along. I talked to somebody for a strategy session. Now they booked the strategy session. Now they threw tomatoes. They want to work with me. They're going to work with somebody. What, it doesn't matter. It's like they canceled it, but we had it booked before. Yay. We met and, you know, we're going to work together and not celebrate all the way along the way. Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you. One more win. Let's hear it. Was there another hand up? Yes, Mary Kay.
I have a new team member coming on in the end of July, and he's a beautiful 3-year-old horse.
Oh, that's great. Mary Kay, I love it. And you know, who our team members are, animal people, you know, nature, it really matters. We have to have a team behind us. And I love that the horses are behind you. And it really begins and ends with the team behind us. We cannot do this alone. So I love that win. Thank you so much. Yeah, beautiful. All right. So where to begin? Where to begin? There's some fabulous questions, but I think I want to do a piece of training to start. Oh, before the training, I know one more piece. I think everybody put up their hand last time. They were going to try out that metta meditation. I just gave the loving kindness meditation. I just gave you the basic instructions, but it's all you need. So did anybody get a chance to try it out at least once this week? Did they get a chance to try it out? Did you remember? Yeah, great. Yeah, fantastic. I love that. Marla was like, maybe once, right? Sergio. So I'd love to hear. I saw those hands first. Sergio, Marla. Talk to me. Talk to us about it. Give us a sentence or two. What was the, how did it go? And like not attached to results at the beginning. Just tell us about what happened. Sergio and then Marla. Sergio, go.
I just do it every morning. I've been doing it for months or a year or so. So it's just start the day. So get in a good state of relaxation, meditation before the day starts.
Mm. One thing that I love about what you said here, Sergio, is it's so matter of fact for you. Of course I start my day that way. I've been doing it for like a year. Everything starts my day off well. That energy is exactly what, you know, that's what it's about. Beautiful. Yeah. Anything else? Did I cut you off in that?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Marla. I love that, Marla. I think it was like, I did it once. Good for you. Celebrate that.
I actually found it sort of hard.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I so appreciate that. Because then when somebody else finds it hard, they'll go, okay, phew, it's not just me. And talk to me about, talk to us about what made it hard. I don't usually ask that question, but then when we bump into that, we know that it's okay, that we can move through that.
I actually remember to do it on a morning when I was feeling pretty down.
Yeah.
And it was difficult to that morning to do that for myself.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm so glad you shared that because this brings to mind a really important teaching about it. I just gave you the bare bones. I've spent an entire week, 3 weeks, 3 years in a row. So 3 weeks teaching this, what I taught you in 5 minutes. Right? So gave you enough to get going. And it can be an amazing practice even with what I just taught you, but I want to add some other pieces today. And Marie is not here, but I'm going to trust that I have her permission on this because every time she's always given me permission to share this and she's shared it umpteen times in this community, but you might not have been here when she shared it before. So Marie was at that week-long version all three times many years ago. I taught it in 2011, 12, and 13, Loving Kindness Retreat. And one of the things that Marie did, so the words of the loving kindness meditation, I want to show you, let me see. It's Marie's daughter who makes these amazing mugs, and she makes them because of that loving kindness, because of the work that we did. She didn't used to make these. She's an amazing, amazing artist. And so with the words of the meditation, may I be safe, may I be peaceful, happy, right? Talk to Marie if you want some like this. They're sold all through Western Canada now. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Right? And so I use these mugs a lot. They come without handles too. That's what I'm drinking my tea with right now. And so when Marie first did this many years ago, such different things happening to her in her life then than now, that those words, she found that the only words she could get to is, may I be safe. Anything beyond that, and Marla, you might've been having one of those days. It just started producing not good feel, like it was hard. Because the other part, may I be peaceful, happy, didn't actually feel real or didn't actually feel possible. So she spent, I think, the first entire retreat just with that one phrase, may I be safe. And if you talk to her about it, she's given me, I haven't posted them for a long time, but testimonials about it, like, that changed her life. Just that one first phrase changed everything. So you don't have to do the whole thing. If you're having a day like that, it might just be, may I be safe. When I started this meditation, goodness, it was when my daughter was small and I was quite concerned about her for a number of reasons. There were a lot of challenging things happening in her life and mine. And so what we can do is we do this meditation for ourselves and then we do it for a loved one. So that's the piece I didn't give you. We do it for first ourselves and then someone we love and then someone we feel neutral about. Same words. And then traditionally it's called the enemy, right? Just a difficult person. And then for all beings everywhere. And at that time, I bumped into an issue because I wanted to do all the meditation. And, you know, sometimes we pick the most difficult person in our life and you go, may you be safe. And you don't want them to be safe because you're feeling revenge about them, right? Whatever it is, can't do it. Don't do it the hard way. So we start out with ourselves. This tradition, I think, is so wise because we start out with loving kindness for ourselves. Otherwise, I don't know how to get there, right? I don't know, how can we give loving kindness to another for not even giving it to ourselves first? Judy's question relates to that. So we'll get to that a little later in the call. So I tried to say both for myself and my daughter, and I was too frightened for all kinds of things that were going on in and around her at that time. There was a lot of pressure on our lives. My then father-in-law was dying painfully of leukemia. I was working on my PhD and it was highly stressful. There were things in my relationship that were difficult. There were things in the, you know, in our business lives. Like there were a whole lot of things that were challenging. And I couldn't say it for my daughter, even my daughter. So my own meditation teacher just said, like, leave that aside, just yourself. So I practiced just for myself, probably for at least a year, maybe 2 years. I only said it for me. That was it. So you can use it as you see fit. You don't have to conjure some special feeling in it. You don't have to make sure that you feel that, like, just you say the words. That's it. It's kind of roll them around on your tongue and with inside you, right? But if it's not feeling good, well, you can back up to an earlier version of that. Does that help, Marla?
Yes.
Does that give you the, you know, encouragement to try it again and maybe just the first part as needed?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. I'm really glad you mentioned that. Who's going to try this again this week, this loving kindness meditation? Okay, awesome. That's most of you. Great. All right. So just a reminder of some places we've been. The first call, like, am I coming from love or fear? That's one of the essential questions that we ask right at the beginning. Am I coming from love or fear? And we come from fear or hatred or aversion or, you know, different variations of that so much more often than we think. I can't even remember what it was when I had that moment just before I arrived on the call. And I was going to tell you, I can't remember what it was, but it was some crazy little fear. I know what it was. It was about this. I usually have water here. What I have beside me, it's like, it's a zero calorie ginger ale. I love this stuff these days. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I had some, I don't know if it was fear or aversion. I want to bring up something really mundane for you because this has still happened to me, of course. So I want you to notice these silly little examples, right? And this changes our companies, I promise you, right? So I'm like, oh my goodness, they're going to see me drinking ginger ale. I'm a yogi. I'm not supposed to drink ginger, you know? It just came up. It was, yeah, thanks, Carly, for smiling about that. It came up. It was a millisecond. Thank you, Red Bull. Goodness, you know? So when we're brave enough to come from love, not fear, yeah, I love this stuff. My daughter loves this stuff, right? And then she pulls it off from the side, right? That it connects us and then it keeps us real. But there's this little moment of either aversion or fear or whatever it is. So it came up just for a millisecond, but I'm pointing it out. My mind works that way too. And then I just laughed and I'm like, wow, I really got to make sure that I talk about that to them. It's the opposite, heading toward the fear, coming from love, not fear. I love this stuff. It keeps me hydrated. And sometimes otherwise I wouldn't be hydrated. And then even that explanation shouldn't need to be there. I want that because I want that. So we explain and we justify, and instead, can we just treat ourselves with greater gentleness? And so are we coming from love, not fear? Well, oh, that's all great. And I think it was Carly's question at the end of that. Yeah, but how do I do that? And I said, I'm going to give you something in the next call. And that thing that I gave you was the loving kindness meditation. And who remembers the essence of the story if somebody wasn't there or just recalls all in the same place? Like, what is the story that I told you from Sharon Salzberg about the monks and the forest? Do you remember the central story about the metta meditation, the loving kindness meditation? Metta just means loving kindness. What's the story about the monks and the forest? Do you remember? A lot happens in those calls, right? So I just kind of want to recall some of the highlights. A lot more happened than just this. Grace, go ahead.
So if I recall the story, the monks were sent out into this dangerous forest and they were fearful and they came back and they were sent out again. And this time, I think, was to be, practice this loving kindness towards whatever they encountered.
Yeah, and, so, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, no, yeah.
Good, and, beautiful.
Yeah. And in loving that, it changed, it made all the difference. So they changed themselves and their perspective. It came from within them and it shifted what they encountered.
Yes. I'm not a Buddhist, but you don't need to be a Buddhist to make use of this. They understand things about the mind that I find really useful, whether you're Christian, atheist, agnostic, Hindu, whatever, right? It's very helpful. And a very helpful mind technique of the creation of a much more empowering story inside. And so one of the interesting things about that story is that the Buddha, the way the story goes is the Buddha sent them, the monks went, no, please don't send me back into that forest. Like, tell us to anywhere else. We don't go on those. There's those scary tree spirits and we're not going back there. Whatever those things are for you. It could be ginger ale. It could be facing the death of a loved one. It could be that next launch. It could be, what if nobody comes? It could, all levels of our lives, right? And our companies. And interestingly, the Buddha sent them back toward the thing they feared, but armed them with the loving kindness meditation. And remember, Sharon Salzberg said that a mind that is filled with fear can be penetrated by loving kindness. And a mind filled with loving kindness cannot be overtaken by fear. Every entrepreneur ought to know this, because entrepreneurs take risks. We do scary stuff sometimes. And whether we're doing scary stuff or not, we get afraid. What do we do with that? And that's where people back off. They back up and people are doing it in strategy sessions. Dude, I really want to work with you, but pull back. So if we don't find techniques to move through that, we can't help. There's no way we can help another move through that. So it's a really crucial point. And it's a turning point in the story always too. Luke's got to go face his fear and face down his father, right? And Harry's got to go face Voldemort. And it's this very classic story structure, because we know that life feels like that sometimes and that something really important is happening at that moment. So therefore the metta meditation. And let me see. I'm trying to decide how much of these pieces I want to give you and how much I want to just dive into your questions and into the next piece. Yeah, I think I want to spend 5 minutes giving you another. This one is like sometimes there are theoretical scaffoldings. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like ways of conceiving of things that allow us to think of them differently, and then whole new possibilities are open to us. I could skip over this part, but I think if I give you this framework, it gives us a way of talking about this over the coming weeks and months that will support us. So can I give you what might seem like a little bit of theory for a moment? But I want to show you why and how to apply. Is that all right? Y'all with me? Okay, perfect. So one of the things I didn't do that I forgot to do here, let me see if I can find a picture here. There we go. Just give me 1 second. I had it called up last week on my computer, but I forgot to bring it up this time around. Okay. Give me 1 second. Okay. If I can't find it, then we're just going to leave it for now. But yeah, have it called up. Always have it called up beforehand. Yeah. 1 second. You'll get it much better if you can see it. Hang on. Today's day for patience, I guess. Okay, I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to show you this whole page really quickly because I've got a bunch of different images of it, all right? So I wanted to give you one, but let's just give you a bunch of them. All right. So you all see a bunch of different copies of the Panopticon. You can see this, there's a picture here, there's a tower, a central tower, and then all these windows around, and there's different versions of it. Do you see that? There's a central tower, and then all of these things around. There's different, they're different images showing the same thing, all right? And I had a really nice one last week, but one that could show it a little bit better, but I didn't get to this on last week's call. So another way to think about this is if you just draw a donut on a piece of paper, right? If you drew a donut, it would be the very same thing. And the center of the donut, so everybody draw a donut on your piece of paper in front of you, okay? So where the hole of the donut is, imagine that that's a tower. Where the donut part is that you eat, imagine like dividing it up into, wait, I'm going to draw this and show it to you. That's how we'll do it. Because those pictures didn't quite illustrate it. What I want you to get is another reason why this meta-meditation is so important and why I'm asking you to do it. And also the structures of mind that might be in some of your people as you're coming to strategy sessions, all right? I know this all the time as I'm in a strategy session, but I'm not always articulating this. I haven't taught this in this community for a couple of years, I don't think, and never like this. So picture looks like this. And this, imagine, is a central tower. And this, you could have different people in each of these slices, okay? So this is a picture of a panopticon. Right here, a guard in the central tower, and then different people could be in these slices, and they can't see each other. So the guard in the central tower can see everybody. But the prisoners are all sliced away, so they can't see each other, and they can't always see if the guard is in the tower or not, right? So do you get the picture of what if you understand the basic image of a panopticon, raise your hand. Understood what I just said from those different kinds of diagrams. Okay, great. So why is the loving kindness meditation? Those who teach loving kindness don't usually go to this, but I do. Because this is why loving kindness meditation is so important. This structure of the Panopticon, it's an 18th century design for a prison. Jeremy Bentham designed a prison in the 18th century. He said, this is a great idea because you can just have one guard in the central tower and you can watch all these prisoners at once. So it's a lot cheaper. And then the prisoners, they will never know when they're being watched. Sometimes the guard's there. Sometimes the guard might not even be there. But at any given moment, the prisoners could be being watched. So what starts to happen? Well, you tell me what starts to happen. If you've got a prisoner in a central tower and then these prisoners, what starts happening to the prisoners? Talk to me about that. And thank you, Jasmine. Do you want to articulate that out loud?
Sorry, my unclick button is sticking. You go insane. It's like being in solitary with the added stress of am I being watched? Am I not being watched? What, your life is constantly available for public display, except that you don't even know when it's on public display.
That's exactly what it is. And I don't know if you've encountered Jeremy Bentham's plan for the Panopticon before or not.
Yes, I know actually posted that I took a course on it before. And so I was wondering where this was going because I'm excited for the new connections.
So interesting, because you spoke that like you really, really, really got it. And so, I just saw your note. So here's the thing. So the prisoners all start to go crazy because they don't know whether they're being watched or not. And so all of a sudden, it doesn't even matter. You can have an empty tower and the prisoners are all going to start regulating themselves because they think that the guard is in the middle. And the thing that I want to tell you is this is how we design our prisons. This is how we design, you know, with a one guard who's watching all these prisoners, right? A lot of prisons are designed this way. Schools, so this is why Jasmine, you would know about this. Schools are designed this way. I changed the design of the classroom when I taught at the university because of this. The teacher can see everybody, but nobody can see anybody. And they're all in rows, and so they get disciplined, all right? So they start disciplining themselves as though that central person were there. So we don't even need that watchdog to be there anymore. We start trying to regulate ourselves by the, and Jasmine, I'm just gonna, or is Jasmine's, just check and see if your line is muted. Oh, that's you, Marla, I'm just gonna mute you here. Sherry, your line too. So I'm just gonna mute you. So we start to regulate ourselves as though that person is at the center. And that person at the center might be our church, our family, or whatever it is. And they don't need to be watching us anymore. But we're starting to watch our every move. It's how our culture has designed its structures. Right? And this is the theoretical part that you don't need to know to just go practice the loving kindness meditation. But it's one of the reasons that I am so keen on this meditation and its power for us in our lives. Because the structures that are around us, this is like the anti-loving kindness structure. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is an anti-loving kindness structure because I better get it right. Even when, like, as Marla's raising her hand, right? Who did it? And Marla's like, has a light attitude about it. So I really, really loved that. But she's only like raising one finger because it only happened once. And some part of her, she's both playful about it. And that's the kind of liberated part of herself, right? Going like, yeah, whatever. I'm raising my hand. I did it once and I'm proud. And so we can see the disciplined part of Marla in that moment as well. That's going, wait, but I only did it once. Maybe I didn't do it right. Was there some part of you pulling back in that too, Marla? That's because we've all been disciplined by those structures. Because somebody's been watching us and we better get it right. And they don't even have to be watching us anymore. And now we're just going to walk the walk and talk the talk. And so we don't do what Yvonne said that was so groundbreaking. I get to create my own business. I get to create my own structures. Because what these structures do in our culture, so I used to teach a lot about this at the university, is one of the things that I taught among many, many other structures, but I wanted to give you this structure. I wanted you to understand this. It's Michel Foucault who borrowed, he's a theorist who borrowed you were studying Foucault, right? Who borrowed this structure and who started telling us about how words work in our culture and what do you call discourses, how our words work to make us not even be able to think stuff. It's outside the box. We can't even think the things that we want to think because we're so disciplined by these structures. So you can connect it back to the call on three keys to finding words that make you more influential. I was talking about Foucault there. And again, if I've lost you in this, ask me a question about it or don't worry too much about it. You can still create your business if you are not understanding my words right now. But if you are understanding your words, you've got my words, you'll have another tool in your toolkit that's really going to help you out in strategy sessions, in talks, all kinds of places when you remember what's actually going on with people. We're not exchanging words in the way we think we are. There's something much deeper going on. So we're all disciplined in these ways. And what it does is it creates us as, I got to really watch myself and I got to walk the line. Otherwise something's wrong. Right. And if you've been in a challenging relationship, for instance, Carly, you've shared that, I wouldn't share that here. Then that is entirely this structure. And so we start disciplining ourselves a bit to get it right. And it goes right into our mind structures. So what do we do about this? And this goes to Judy's question. Judy's question was, what are the best ways to motivate our inner critic to have a gentler attitude toward ourselves? Well, the very first thing is I want you guys to understand, what was the name of the call you just said? Oh, about Foucault. So three keys to finding words that make you more influential. And I only taught about 1 minute on that, just not enough time to teach everything around it. And I could, you know, I taught the university for whole classes on this, and much, much more. So what are the best ways to motivate our inner critic to have a gentler attitude toward ourselves? Well, first, to find gentleness in and around, this has happened to all of us. If we live in Western culture, this has happened to us, right? Our church, our families, our relationships, our spouses, our ex-spouses, or even our children, right? Our parents, these structures have happened to us. And also to notice that there doesn't even need to be anybody in the watchtower. Sometimes we think it's because of our parents, because of the person that's in the watchtower, but the way the structure works, you don't even need anybody in the watchtower, because we just start watching ourselves and we try to get it right. And we do this over, you'll watch people doing this in business over and over again. What's the right way to do X? Because if I don't get it right, something bad's going to happen. Like that structure of living life unconsciously is a tragedy. Part of its roots are in this. So if this has happened, it's like, well, Michelle, thanks a lot. Why did you tell me this bad news? Well, what's the way to unpack that? First, know that it's happened. Again, find gentleness for ourselves. When we notice ourselves disciplining ourselves, or we think somebody is, or, you know, we do that with that. What will they think when we do such and such? Sometimes it comes in that form. Or everybody's doing this, so I got to do that. And it comes in subtle forms. I better not show you that I'm drinking ginger ale. Right? That is self-disciplining. Right? In a strategy session, I can't say that because people don't say those things. You know, that's not the right thing to say, but we need to be able to break out of those structures if we're going to be actually communicate at a real level and say something that's outside the bounds of what people usually say. You probably came here because of an uncommon conversation that we had. And part of what is behind those conversations is this understanding. I've never gone into I think I taught this once before, about 3 years ago in this community, and I've never taught it this way at this level ever before, but I knew you guys were ready. So what creates that gentleness? When we know this is happening, well, what we want to do is get at those structures of mind inside ourselves and find an antidote. And the best antidote, that one of the best antidotes I know, is that metta meditation. Because in the face of, I'm not supposed to be doing that, I'm doing it wrong, I should better do this, and all those things, all those old stories that just, you know, ad nauseum, right? You know, the editor telling us what we shouldn't do, otherwise something bad might happen, et cetera, et cetera. That can all be cut through by may I be safe. May I be peaceful, happy. It's just like it's a change of track. And it's a practice. I've practiced it over and over for many years. And I promised you that I'd show you the mugs, and I promised you I'd take the next step with metta meditation, which we've done. And I promised you, you know, you can say it for yourself and then a loved one. I said it for Dana for many, many years in the formal practice of it. You sit and just repeat those phrases. And then the neutral person, for many years, I used the teller at the bank. I used to, in the old days, go into the bank. I don't do that anymore, really. A neutral person. I don't really care whether their day goes well or not. They're just neutral. I don't have big, you know, attachments about them. So then we just practice our circles growing bigger and bigger, right? And then don't choose the person who's harmed you most in the world, the Carly, right? Others too, but I think of you and your question a couple of days ago or a couple of classes ago, right? But choose a difficult person. And sometimes that'll even, on a given day, Dana might be my loved one, and she might be my difficult person that day too, right? It's okay. And then all the world. So you can play with that practice. I've done this practice and taught it, like I say, a week long. I've done hour long sittings and more doing this. And I haven't done a, you know, week long like Sharon Salzberg or a month long, but I've integrated it through my life for many, many, many years. And I promised you that I would also tell you how you use in traffic. Please don't do meditations, you know, while you're driving and get distracted, right? But I've used this everywhere. And it's just a habit of thought. I'm in traffic and maybe I'm stopped at a light and somebody runs the light in front of me. And our habitual thought, what a jerk, blah, blah, blah. And then reminds us of that person who's been in the watchtower, blah. And all of a sudden our mind is off on a bad track. And then we go into a strategy session or driving to a talk. But now, because I've practiced this for so many years, that person cuts me off in traffic. I won't do the whole meditation, but the immediate thing that comes to my mind, because it's a practice, like, oh, may you be safe. I take a breath. May you be peaceful, happy. I'll do it with people walking down the street. They don't know, but I'm just sending them blessings, right? The person's walking down the street in front of me, and maybe it's somebody it's a homeless person, and maybe they've even, I did that last time I did that was a couple of weeks ago, probably a homeless person, and actually, you know, almost like bumped me out of the way and was really rude. And I was like, oh, first I was upset, then I was angry, and all that passed by very quickly. And the first thing that came to mind, because then the next moment that came to mind, this all happened in a split seconds, may you be safe. And all of a sudden, all that's unplugged. And if I can do that in that circumstance, what can I do when the person who's in front of me in a strategy session, I don't like blah, 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 blah. And then they become like that person in the watchtower almost too. I don't like what you did because, yeah, that's, you're charging too much, or that's not right. Or no, I think you didn't understand me, or whatever it is. And all of a sudden we think they're the person in the watchtower. And then we got to discipline ourselves. And then we can't even talk anymore. I don't like X, Y, Z. Oh, may you be safe. It's a habit of thought. And then we take a breath and the energy shifts, and then we can actually hear that person. All right. That's Jeremy Bentham and Michel Foucault and the Panopticon. It's the piece I want to give you about. But it was too much to give you all at once. You have the antidote of the loving kindness meditation, even more important, given the culture that we all grew up in, and you can see that and see the connection, raise your hand. All right. And what am I doing? I'm giving you a big why. They having a big why. That's the W in Allow. We're in the loving kindness series right now. I'm giving you a big why for doing this practice that will allow you to, as you know, this answers you, what are the best ways to motivate our inner critic to have a gentler attitude toward ourselves, understand these structures, practice a loving kindness meditation. It is the antidote to fear and hatred and delusion, according to the Buddhists and in my deep experience. The other practice is Shavasana, because we have all this gunk going on, right? And so if we begin our day, it's like clearing that out. We start, it's like we often start our day, and within seconds, you can notice what happens to you when you first wake up. At that very moment, we're probably in the panopticon. Man, I got to get to work. Got to make the coffee really soon. I wonder what, you know, and all of a sudden I'm already being watched. Who has woken up in some state like that before? Raise your hand. So that tells me you understood what I said. Yeah. It's like we wake up in the prison of the panopticon. And so when I start my day, it's like, I learned from Esther and Jerry Hicks, like I feel the softness of the pillow. I take a breath. Like so right when I wake up, right? I just like tangible, something puts me in the here and now. I like on my pillow, I like the softness of the mattress, like a different mind state. And then right into Shavasana. Do I do this every time? No, I'm learning this too. That's why I'm teaching it. But I'm much better than I used to be at it, right? Then right into Shavasana and neutral gear out of the panopticon. And then at some time during the day, loving kindness meditation, and you can do the formal practice, which I did for years. And now I use it informally all the time. My daughter doesn't like something or she comes home annoyed from work or whatever it is. Oh, may you be safe. Unplug everything. I drink from those mugs, right? So I read it around me all the time. It changes. And I think of you, Sergio, and thank you for how you entered in. And you said, I want to understand how you speak the way you do. It's different from other people. What is it? This is one of the keys. Like, what is it to have to begin from that mind state? Begin from a different place than a lot of people, because most people, they step on the stage, they're coming from fear. I do that too, but I have ways to unplug that pretty quickly. Like what happened today on the call. It happens in mundane ways as well. Man, if we can't record, we got to do this call all over again. You're all here. I don't want to do the call without the recording. So, you know, it could be fear, but I'm just like, well, just handle the problem. Changes the energy by the end of the day. You can do so much more too, right? Okay. So another piece that we're going to do today, but this happened last year too, is this meta meditation. I just really need a couple of classes. to really have us dive into it and understand it. And there's another piece that follows on this that I'm going to teach us two other pieces next week and the week after. And it's another technique to create this state of loving kindness with our words. I guess that's the best way to put that. That's the material for next week. How do we actually do that so that our words aren't coming from the midst of the panopticon, but they're coming from a very different place? That's we land it right directly with the words next time, okay? So, but we need to build the structure one piece at a time so we get it. I'd love to hear a couple of ahas before we move on into the questions, because I want to know, let me see. Yeah, I want to know what you've heard from this. What's your aha, or how you think this applies in your life, just so that I know that something of this is landing for you and that I hear what's landing. So, yeah, Sherry, go ahead.
So I think the piece that really resonated was that when we wake up in the prison, and, you know, for years I used to wake up with the committee going off about everything long before I woke up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd use different ways of trying to moderate it. And this one is, I'm really quite excited to start to use it because it is so clean and easy. Mm-hmm. It is that, you know, inclination that, oh, the pandemonium, let me be safe away from that. And what a great way to wake up.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you. And I love what you've said here, Sherry. This is like, I wake up with that. One of my friends called it, and he didn't invent the itty bitty shitty committee, whatever you call that thing, right? That mind, that those old stories, and you've tried different things, and this is clean and easy. I have probably been given at least hundreds of practices from different teachers. I give these to you advisedly, because if I tried to do all of the practices that I was given, there wouldn't be any time in the day. These are the ones that have stuck for many, many years. For good reason, and they take a few minutes a day, and it has utterly changed everything in my life and my company and my world, or I wouldn't be teaching it. Thanks, Sherry. Beautiful. Yeah. What else? Let's hear one more. Yeah, Carly.
Well, I like it because it's almost like you can apply that there are like almost multiple prisons that you might have in different categories in how you think about things in life, mm-hmm. right? You know, like you mentioned, relationships and things like that. But I love the example that you gave of in business, where if you think you're charging too much or something like that, and all of a sudden your client is becoming the person in the watchtower, and you've like shifted your mind to that. That's really powerful, I think, for me to think about in my business, because it's like, you know, inside your value, you know inside what you can bring to the table, but all of a sudden you've emotionally put yourself in that spot. And so I really love that, being able to be aware of how you put yourself in that spot and the meditation. And I love that.
Yeah. Thank you, Carly. Yes. Perfect. Underlining and then elaboration on the point that I made in your own business. And when that person in the strategy session, for instance, all of a sudden, unconsciously, they become that person. We think they're that person in the watchtower. We're going to start justifying, explaining, pushing. That's when we start to become pushy, because we're trying to defend who we think we are, or we're going to start hiding. That's what the prisoner does. And that's not the dynamic of a strategy session. It's actually something very different. Where we want to be in a strategy session, and where it's an earned position, is a place of trusted advisor. Right? Because that's where I would like to be in a strategy session. Together, let's figure this out. And I've got some tools. Obviously, people are going to know in my toolbox, or some things over here. But together, let's figure out what the best next step is. That's a position of trusted advisor. And if I see myself as a prison in the prison, you know, in the prison, if I see myself as a prisoner in the prison cell, unconsciously, that conversation, no way it can happen. And then sometimes I might flip around because I don't want to be that. So then it's almost like I become the person in the watchtower. Well, you know, you better do this. Otherwise, blah, 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 blah. And nothing has changed. How do we find words that come from a very different basis, a very different foundation? And again, next week's call will take this further. We got to build the foundation step by step to see how we find those words, how we find those stories. It enters into our copy. It enters into everything that we do in our businesses. Because we communicate, it's all the ways we communicate, it's all the ways we connect, it's all the ways that we share our work, right? Beautiful, thank you. Okay. Anything else burning to be said? Anything else that we want to share in and around this? Okay, I really investigated inside my, like I had to do a lot of questioning, like, am I gonna bring this Panopticon to you guys or not? I did last week, I did this week again. If you found this metaphor useful, if you think this is going to make a difference, because I want to know, was this helpful to bring this to you? It's a genuine question. Raise your hand. If you got something out of this that you think is going to, yeah, unanimous. For those that can see, fantastic. And two hands of Jasmine. Thank you. Beautiful. Wow, and a huge long, I don't have time to read the whole, but a nice long message from, who's, I can't even see what on my screen, but a nice one. Oh, ah, haha. Okay, got it. Hang on. Got it. Okay, okay. I can't. Yeah, it's notes. Okay. You're going to have to really copy and resend it, okay? Because once I go away, I won't be able to see it. All right. I think what I want to do is head over to, two things. First thing is Sharon Salzberg again. This is another one of her books. I don't think I showed you this one last time. The Force of Kindness, and Change Your Life with Love and Compassion. And I just want to share with you the beginning of this book, just again to deepen, you know, why we're even doing this series, why it's at the heart of the Allow series. It's the central L for a reason, and why I think this, you know, this is absolutely indispensable for business. And so just another take on this, you know, loving kindness. And she says, I've been engaged by kindness nearly my whole life. And you think of loving kindness, it's like loving kindness, love and kindness. I mean, I don't want to stop with definitions. You get it. Loving kindness, love, compassion, they're all interrelated. I'm not trying to split hairs right now about definitions, okay? I've been engaged by kindness nearly my whole life, she says. Fascinated by it at times, repulsed by it at others. Repulsed by it. Interesting, right? Particularly when I was young and others extended kindness to me, I felt humiliated by the apparent evidence of my pain. She probably hasn't even studied the Panopticon, but can you already hear it? I didn't even realize I was going to underline that for you here. But as somebody else is kind, she's herself in the prison thinking they're seeing it and there's something wrong with her and she's got to fix it. And so she's in pain. She's talking about the Panopticon here and I'm sure she doesn't even know it. Right? So here we go. I've been engaged by kindness nearly my whole life, fascinated by it at times, repulsed by it at others. Particularly when I was young and others extended kindness to me, I felt humiliated by the apparent evidence of my pain. I hated that anyone could see that I was hurt. And don't show, right? And yet, now I see that those early gifts of kindness planted the seeds of a nascent self-love within me. Those seeds were really what allowed me, more than anything else, to survive the often painful circumstances of my childhood. As I got older, I was less resistant to acts of kindness, more moved by them, more able to acknowledge how important they had been and still were to me. Since then, the pursuit of kindness has magnetized much of my spiritual journey. That is, once I got over my disdain of it as an also-ran quality, the kind of characteristic you could cultivate if tougher, finer things like wisdom elude you. As I continue my meditation practice every day and try to live out my deepest values every day, kindness has only grown in importance as a crucial element of those efforts. Oh, hang on, actually. I really like that. It wasn't even the page I was going to read to you. That was the introduction. It's so in line with the page I was going to read to you. No wonder I was surprised by the opening line. Let me read to you. And it's in the same, you'll hear it in the same vein here, right? Kindness is compassion in action. It's a way of taking the vital human emotions of empathy or sympathy and channeling those emotions into real life confrontation with ruthlessness, abandonment, thoughtlessness, loneliness, all the myriad ways every single day we find ourselves suffering or witnessing suffering in others. As entrepreneurs, we're always witnessing suffering in others. That's what we're attempting to change, right? So when we witness it, what do we do about it? So kindness is compassion in action. Yet growing up, I had the impression that a kind heart, this is the part I wanted to read to you, ranked awfully low in cultural desirability, well after a sound head, a sharp wit, invulnerability, power over others, a fine sense of irony, and countless other qualities. And again, you can see her disciplining herself. It's like, this is the thing that I'm leaning toward, but all that is not really good enough. All these other things are better. The hero I saw displayed in the movies was fiercely resolute. The sidekick trailing after the hero, picking up the pieces, might have been kind. The overwhelmingly popular girl on TV was striking, imposing, amusing. The second banana was usually kind and a lot less magnetic or interesting. These are some of the ideas in and around loving kindness that we've picked up in the culture and we discipline ourselves with, right? Today as well, when we think of adventure, going out on a limb, being bold, being on the edge, it's rarely in the direction of caring, of compassion. Usually we externalize our sense of adventure and think of climbing mountains or jumping out of airplanes. I've done both of those. Those are good too, right? But our idea of taking a risk is to be more ambitious, maybe more competitive. To be bold translates as being more hard-bitten and not noticing the consequences of our actions on others. To be brave has no gentleness or sensitivity associated with it. On the face of it, kindness can seem wimpy, a cop-out, an excuse to do just a little bit to try to make a difference when so very much needs to be done. So I wanted to mention that because that's some of the disciplining that happens to us in and around kindness. We think it's like, well, maybe it's not that important. All these other qualities are more important, and I really don't have time for that because. But if we really see how the culture disciplines us like the panopticon and how we're always like self-correcting in ways that aren't helpful, that we can try to achieve something that is beyond us and trying to be better than and going after that thing that will always ever be tomorrow. I really don't know how we can get there from there. I don't know how we can have any of those other, how can we take a risk? How can we be adventurous? How can we do those things when we don't start with the heart of loving kindness and for ourselves? And here, I wasn't sure if I was going to do this, and then we'll get to the questions. I know I'm late on the questions today, but we had a chance of really landing something foundational for our whole year today, and then I promise I will get to the questions. Just want to share with you something else again. Let me see. I'm going to share my screen again. And this one I did have ready, as long as I can find it quickly. Yeah, here it is. And okay. Just another, you know, why is this practice so foundational? Because it's really easy to go home and forget. And then what does it actually unplug? And I was listening to this song this morning. You guys know that I love Queen and I've been so into Queen lately. And I was like, oh my goodness, there's actually sometimes deep wisdom in popular culture. And I wanted to come at this from a very different angle because sometimes our lives feel like they're really crazy. Some of you might've had a crazy morning or a crazy day and so on. Right. And thank you, Jasmine, got it. So might've had like a crazy day, crazy morning, challenging moments, and right in our popular culture and in a way that can really land in us. I think that there's the answer just in the song. So I just want to play a snippet of it, nothing you need to make of it, but it was running through my head all morning and I was listening to it. I'm like, I just want to share this with you. So just enjoy. This is Queen. Oh, wait, you won't be able to hear it. Ha! Spoiler alert. I got to stop sharing because I got to share my sound as well. Okay, share. Share computer sound. Optimize for full screen video clip. Share. Okay, here we go. Enjoy. I can't see you guys now, so I hope you're enjoying this kind of show.
Sunshine, old-fashioned, bright and love, yeah.
of you know that song. I don't know if you could hear the lyrics. Some of you know them. Did you hear what the main theme is and what the antidote is? It's right in. I just love Queen. I know this is like a lot of wisdom in some lyrics, and sometimes they're just fun. What did you hear juxtaposed in that song? Did you notice? What were they singing about? Could anyone hear it? Okay, you can go back and listen to it. It's a song called Under Pressure. Fabulous song. And the bass line that, you know, it's really well known, that dun 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 dun, right? And the whole song is like, we're under pressure, and we're like so disconnected and so disjointed. And then as you sing about, like, give love a chance. So right in our popular culture over here, we're under pressure and we're feeling it and we don't want to even reach out to the people. And it's like, and then the chorus that Freddie Mercury sings is like, give love a chance. And I was listening to it and I didn't even realize it all morning this morning, a big chunk of the morning before we got together. I'm like, I got to share this with you. Because sometimes music gets it in a deeper way than we can with our heads. It goes into our hearts. It's everything that I was living and breathing this morning. I'm like, why am I listening to a song about under pressure? Oh, because it's doing the very same thing. It's the panopticon in loving kindness. It's under pressure and disconnect. And what's the antidote? And it's the answer to Judy's question. What are the best ways to motivate our inner critic to have a gentler attitude toward ourselves? And even in the question, how Judy phrased the question, what's the best ways to motivate our inner critic? Can you hear that from the perspective of this call? The hints of unkindness, even in the way the question is phrased. I want to motivate my inner critic, motivate rather than inspire. I got to push my inner critic because something is, you know, wrong inside me about what's going on. And if I don't push that, then I won't be able to find that gentleness. So will you help me push my inner critic to change that? So the roots of the problem are even right in the question because we're so disciplined, right? And instead, meta meditation, loving kindness, forming it as a practice, and then just watch it change our lives and our world. I want to give you such a big why so that you actually do it, because nothing happens unless we do it, right? So I want to get to the other questions today, and there are questions from, we got to Marie's and we got to Judy's. The questions that are remaining are from Jasmine. And there's a question that's been lingering for a couple weeks for me to finally address it. And I think what I'm going to do, just out of the sake of time, let me see. I'm going to start with the question you posted today, Jasmine. And the question was, I'm hosting a practice session for a webinar tomorrow, and I'm doing the call, the webinar, on Tuesday. And so, how did you say? So, can I post a link for the practice session and ask folks to join in if they want to? Of course. Sure you can. And I want to say that what Jasmine's done here is a great thing, because sometimes we push on other people and say, hey, you know, come to this because I think you're going to be my ideal client. It's really pushy, right? But a really great way here and elsewhere, ask people for help. And that comes first from loving kindness for oneself, just trusting that the universe will be there to serve and support us. Right. And more on that next time and how we translate that into our words. But, you know, so if we really have that heart of love and kindness for ourselves, we won't mind asking for help. And some people might have time to come. That'd be great. And that would be, I really encourage you to do that for Jasmine and for each other. One of you has a call, say, hey, you know, I'm doing a practice and do you want to come and give me some feedback? Because let's say, and Carly may or may not be able to show up. And Carly's got like all these little kids. She's got a whole business she's running. And, you know, it's like, she may not be able to be there. And Yvonne's running eWomen tonight. And she might not be able to be there. And she's hosting Diane right now. Like different things that you're doing right now, right? So, but let's take Carly, for example, or maybe it's Marla. Maybe Marla shows up. And when Marla's there, Marla's going to go, I really loved this part. And then I didn't understand this part. And I want to use this like what you did over here when I'm doing my stuff. So then Marla is really learning when she shows up for Jasmine, because she'll see what she finds is working and what she finds isn't working. When you give feedback to each other, I strongly encourage you to go and access the responding to manuscripts document. I wrote it up many years ago. It doesn't have a sexy title. It would have a sexier title if I was writing it today. but somewhere over there in Story Freedom Academy, the person to turn to who would know the most about that document, Marie and ex-Yvonne, you've been around a long time in this community. So, and it teaches us how to give feedback in a way that doesn't put us in the center of the watchtower in the panopticon. We're in the center of the watchtower and the panopticon. And we say, well, I liked this. If Marla comes and says, well, I like this, Jasmine, this part I'm not sure about. And Jasmine's editor is running like crazy. You know, she's going to go, oh no, she hated it. And she's not going to do it again. Right? So how do we give feedback in ways that actually are constructive? And that document will tell you. And then, so that itself will be a good practice. And then Marla can learn things for her own. And in trying to articulate what she loved, and then maybe one suggestion for her, Marla will learn what she should be doing in her own that takes it to the next level. So it's a really, really great thing to do. And yeah, Jasmine's got details in the Facebook form. And that's always a great way to advertise, by the way, too. It's like, hey guys, I'm doing this. And you've probably seen that. It doesn't happen that often in our community, but sometimes it happens. It's not wrong. Hey, I'm doing this. You might need this. Come tomorrow. But it's not that effective. But it's like, hey, will you come? Because I really, and it's only if it's really true, I honestly would appreciate your feedback. People are much more likely to show up. And by the way, then they'll also hear it. And maybe they are, or they know your ideal client or whatever. It's a spin-off effect. It's a spin-off effect of loving kindness for yourself and allowing yourself to be supported by others. So very connected with the material for today. So Jasmine, is that helpful? Yeah. Was that helpful to you guys too? You're like, that's a great way to post in any, and yeah, really smart too. If you're writing a book, it's like, hey, will you please read this book? Or hey, will you please, you know, people shove books in people's faces too when they don't even want them sometimes too, right? A book can be a non-asset. But it's like, hey, I'm in the process of writing my book. And I'm wondering if it should be called this or this, would you help me? And you'll see really, you know, well-known authors doing that. It's a really smart thing to do because people want to help and they want to be part of the creation process and they want to be engaged. And so then, and then by virtue of having done that, that person also knows about it as well. So thanks, Jasmine. Did that answers that question? Great, great question and really instructive for everybody. That's a high level question. Really nice. Then Jasmine's other question. Did anyone's current endeavors seem like a big shift from what you're doing before? If so, how did you come to let those in your life outside of your closest people know about your new thing? Well, we could throw this out to the group. If you want to throw that out to the group for part two of it, Jasmine, repost the question. We'll come back to it. We'll just keep coming back to a question until we answer it. But for the sake of time, I'm going to answer. Is it okay if I just give you a fish and answer briefly here? Thank you. Okay. So other people in my life, we can understand this question, even this question better. Now, how did you let those people in your life outside your closest people know about your new thing? Coming from love or fear? Of course, fear. So this whole series ought to help with this question and every other question that we ask. I am frightened. So the undertone of the question is I'm frightened that they will misunderstand me. They really won't get it. That something bad's going to happen. I'm going to live my life unconsciously as tragedy when I tell them. So how can I change the foundation of the question and come from love, not fear? And for one thing, I'm going to go right over to the tree forest where the scary, you know, ghoulish spirits are. I'm going to head right toward that and not be afraid to tell them. Don't just walk right up to the dream stealers and tell them. I will tell you that, not out of fear, but out of loving kindness for oneself. That's coming from loving kindness for oneself. You tell your worst enemy about what you're doing, for instance. Why would you do that? Right? For example, easy to see, loving kindness for self. But here's the thing. We're then envisioning those people that are not in our closest circle, but in our next to closest circle as our worst enemy. Because our worst enemy has gotten into our heads like the watchtower of the panopticon. And we're going to find the antidote to that in a very strong way next week. Right? So I'm starting to envision those people who are just one circle further out as my worst enemy. And they're going to hate what I do. And so now I'm going to try to talk to them. You can't even get there from there. If I come from a different place and I've practiced the meta meditation and I go, wait, I'm not going to tell those people that, you know, we've had a longstanding feud with, I'm not going to start there, but I'll start close in. So we start in this community. That's why I always recommend with you guys, start here and talk to people about your new journey when you've just joined, because this community will understand it and then go to the people who you love and then go like, and that's what the meta meditation teaches us to do. Myself, loved one, neutral person. So it trains us how to do that. And then can I come so knowing the value of what I'm doing, and I will do that. Thanks, Yvonne. And we're going to wrap up just in a minute or two here. So can I come from such a place of knowing the value of my work, bye, Yvonne, and the value of who I am and what I do, and the loving kindness meditation will unconsciously have me doing that. Remember Sharon Salzberg, oh, I dropped the soap or whatever it was. You're such a klutz and I love you. The meta meditation itself helps us know our own value. And when we know our own value in one area, we'll know it in another area, including our own business. When I know that, and when I remember that it's not about me, it's about them and the transformation that you're offering, or, but you know, that I'm just an instrument. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I've had a prayer ever since I was a little kid. I was raised Catholic. It's not my practice right now. I'm a yogi, I guess you'd say, right? If it's my spiritual tradition, but I was raised Catholic, and that, and part of that's very much still with me. Part of it's not, part of it is. And one of my prayers is just make me a channel of your peace. I say that often, you know. I sang the song in church, and like make me, that's what I want for my business. That's my highest prayer, you know. Make me a channel of your peace. May God, spirit, the universe, highest self, may I become that channel of a peace that's larger than something bigger than me. And when I am that, and when I remember that, it unpacks all that ego stuff. Because when I'm worried about what they're going to think of me when I tell them this, I'm just already in the watchtower. I'm already in the panopticon, and I can't get there from there. No matter what I do, I'm just watching myself. Whatever your version, I think is really powerful. Your version might be, may I tap into my highest self and serve people from the best that I have. I don't know what it is for you. Not does it apply, but how does it apply to you? For me, it's make me a channel of your peace. When I'm doing that, all that other stuff doesn't seem to matter. And then it's the very same as whether at a strategy session or at a talk, they're going to like it or they're going to not. It doesn't even matter because I'm on a mission. I'm on purpose in my company and in my life. And they'll like it or they won't. But they're much more likely to hear it if I'm not caught in that panopticon way, which is the way of our culture. And when I'm armed, I don't like that's a military metaphor, but armed with loving kindness, then I can head over to where those scary tree spirits are. And remember too, that the mind that is filled with loving kindness cannot be overcome by fear. So I start that as a practice before I walk into that conversation. I have that practice going, start doing the meta meditation even for a week, and you walk in differently. And I'll tell you one last story before we're going to wrap up this call. One of the stories that Sharon Salzberg tells is about two business partners that broke up, and it was really bad. And so the one guy, unbeknownst to the other, was doing the meta meditation for a long time, and he used him as his difficult person. Right? So he's like, kept saying, may I be safe? May you be safe? May you be peaceful to the difficult person, because he'd worked to that extent, right? And all he did was walk in the door and say hello. And everything was always like a lot of strife and a lot of animosity, right? Just said hello. And he went, what happened to you? And all of a sudden, all the walls had broken down. And it was just on hello. A very different energetic. It's a very, very powerful practice. And don't do the practice in order to go and talk to that difficult person, or to, you know, just do the practice to do the practice. Don't be, well, and then I better find the outcome, because that's going to be raga attachment, which we learn in the Letting Go series. It's going to mess us up. So know that it can have that effect, but then let it go. Doesn't matter. And just do the practice to do the practice, because it's going to feel better through your day. And because you'll know that you'll be more at ease when you walk into the next strategy session. Like, don't try to think beyond those effects, or you might be. You know, and on the whole, you will be. When any particular strategy session, I can't promise. I don't know. But on the whole, you know, life trends in that direction, and let that be enough. If you understood those last words, I know we're running a little late here. Raise your hand. Did you get that? Lots of you got that. Fantastic. Okay. We're going to wrap up the call. Remember about the call on Monday. I'm super duper excited about it. I have never taught this material before, and we have this call behind us. Some of you will be there with this behind, so there's going to be new people as well. You're going to watch me negotiating with things that you guys know and absolute newcomers. So like, come just to watch that and watch where I'm skillful and watch where I'm not. That's going to happen, right? It's going to be fun. And then we'll see you for Loving Kindness call for next week. The next call is not one where you can post questions on, but there'll be time for live questions and so on. And then you can post questions for the Loving Kindness call, right? So please come to both. I hope I'll see you there for both of them. It's going to be really, really, really rich week. And remember, you can invite your friends to the Monday one as well. It's a rare opportunity. I don't know when I'm going to do that again. We'll see. I might not even ever do it again. There's no plans to do it again. We might, but I don't know. So it's a great opportunity to invite your friends and let them know something of what you're doing too, so they can speak a bit more of the same language. It's going to be a very quick and deep dive, right? Like, we're going to do a lot in the time that we're together. So one aha, one inspired action to round out our call today. Thank you so much. I know you guys heard, we've never, ever done this material this way before. This is the highest level training of this ever in this community, and it's because of you guys. I know you're ready. So Grace, you're up. One aha, one inspired action.
When I wrap myself in loving kindness, I could be the presence of loving kindness for others, and towers and prisons don't exist.
I've got chills when you say that. That's exactly it. And this is one of the keys to people say, like, Michelle, how come you just meet people and the next day, and how come you skipped all those steps? It comes from this. Yeah, the deep heart of loving kindness, right? Thank you, Grace. Beautiful. And many, many other things as well, obviously, with all the people around you.
So the action is to start doing the meta experiment with the meta meditation and sort of be curious and see what unfolds.
Oh, that's a perfect attitude for doing it. I love that. Exactly that. Yes. Perfect words. Thank you, Grace. Sherry, you're up. And then it might be, wow, she just said perfect words. My words might not be perfect. I don't detect that in Sherry, but there's all these little places where they could be fear, right? Go ahead, Sherry.
I think my aha was the power in the meta meditation. I wasn't on last week and hadn't had a chance to listen. So this was new and it was, oh, wow. And so my inspired action is to do that upon awakening.
Love it. And keep posting in the Facebook forum, keep posting your questions here. Like, let's, you know, the more we engage with it, the more it actually happens, the more it moves everything in our companies, in our lives. Love that, Sherry. Thank you. Carly.
Well, I'm filling my wall with these quotes from our calls. And it's really nice. I have them kind of up all around my computer here. And so today's where I get to create what I want. It happens and I am in the driver's seat. I am magnetic. And then the last one, make me a channel of your peace. So that's just something that I'm kind of doing. So I think a big aha for me was the, you know, ask yourself if I'm self-correcting in ways that don't serve me.
Beautifully put. I love it.
And
I didn't use those words, and that those are the perfect words for that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So inspired action is I actually haven't listened to the last session yet with the meditation, and I'm going to do that and practice the meditation.
Love it. Thank you, Carly. Beautiful. Marla, you're up.
Okay, I'm definitely going to practice meditation. I actually put it on a reminder.
Awesome, it's a great thing to do.
But I think this was just really what's sort of stopping me from moving forward like I would like to with my stuff. Is the putting stuff out there when I think of all the people who could probably won't.
This series is really important for you and your work. This series is.
But might say things about it.
Yeah, exactly. And next week's call, again, super antidote to this. It's really important. Yeah, good. And what's your inspired action?
My inspired action is through the meditation.
Everyone. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, you said that. That's right. Love it. Thank you. Yes. Sergio.
So the ahas are to do with the metta meditation and the panopticons. So the panopticon is what I was, is that my work situation with the new boss came in, monitoring people, threats, automations, deadlines, and all these things. And I've just been talking to her, and I dropped a lot of things she was trying to get me to do because they were impossible to achieve and so on. And I'm just going to keep practicing metta meditation with myself and with the work situation.
Mm-hmm. Because that person doesn't even need to be there for you to start feeling. Do you get that? You can pull that person out. They're underlining that panopticon, but you know, pull them out and it's still inside us, right? So then what do we do? And so yes, the action, keep practicing. Yes, really good. And when you're aware of these two, when we can notice it, it's so much easier to shift it. So first we got to notice it's happening. Really great, Sergio. Thank you. Mary Kay, you're up.
Well, this was really different because it was almost like your teaching started before the call, before I even went on the call, as I was thinking about the things that I wanted to celebrate. I just kind of blew me away. I was listening to you, but then I was also these two revelations I had. I was like, just sort of processing them and letting them resonate through what you were doing too.
So a deep alignment with what we've been doing here and your day, I, what came before. I love that. Something highly intuitive in you, and it's related to the work that you do, and not surprising. Yeah.
Just sort of blown away, but also very honored and honored to be here with you and all that. So
beautiful.
My inspired action is that I'm finishing up some training documents for two of my clients this afternoon, and I'm going to finish writing them with love, not fear.
Aha. What'll they say? What if it's right? That changes the writing experience, and more on that next week, but really, really, really awesome, Mary Kay. More on that for the writing, for the words. Fantastic. Yes, thank you. Jasmine, you're up.
Okay. I think I'm actually ready to share with the group what I had written to you earlier in the message. So today was really emotional, and it was exactly where I needed to be in so many ways. I definitely struggle with different mental health issues, and although I don't struggle with this anymore, one of them was hearing voices, and voices that were critical of me constantly. And it got to the point where my wife and I wouldn't let us talk at home, because the neighbors upstairs would hear us and criticize. And I finally got help when we only were allowed to write notes to each other. And escaping that panopticon that my mind made for me that was inescapable was so hard and so relieving. And to imagine society ever putting me back in that place again, like, fuck no. And so my inspired action is to, whenever that editor is there, whenever I have those limiting beliefs, to really just think that I'm putting myself in a panopticon and like remembering what that felt like, how disempowering that was, and how this time it's a choice. And it's something that I have total control over. And this, you know, these resources, the metta meditation, this loving kindness series, these are all things I can use and so much else in a way that never would have worked before, but that I am here now and ready to hear and receive. So cool.
Jasmine, beautiful. And you, with your work as a mindset coach, you can hear the deep place that this comes from, right? And these are words of thank you for speaking. These are words spoken very personally and very vulnerably and very in such a real, real way. Thank you for that. And then also, I'm just going to gesture here. And most people go, oh, like, don't do that. You know, there's my own error, right? But I'm going to go over here for you. These might not be exactly the words that you will speak from stage. I'm only going to touch there and then let it go. But they're close to them. Because that passion, that conviction, that understanding of why it matters so much, what's going on inside our minds is what will carry your business to that, you know, to the stratosphere. You know, translate them for stage, but the translation is not that, it's not, you know, the essence of it is right in, you guys heard it right here. And I only want to gesture to it and then come back to the personal and take care of yourself and your journey. But when we come from that place, as you just did, of a deep, deep loving kindness for oneself, the words that we speak to the world are just right there. This is why this whole series, there's no better way to underline the importance of this whole series than that, and to end this call on those words. Did y'all hear that? Yeah, it's directly connected with the words we use that others will hear, but we start with self first. I want to gesture to it and then have you let that go. Stay with yourself right now. But that's for later. Stay with yourself right now. Freaking awesome, Jasmine. Thank you, everyone. The insights you brought to this call were just foundational, tremendous, every single one of you. So beautiful. I love you so much. You guys are amazing. We get to play at this level because that's where you're playing. And I love that. Thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing you on Monday for a really deep dive then, and the loving kindness call as well. Reach out to me if you need anything. Post your questions. Keep connecting on the Facebook forum. Keep connecting with your buddies, your small group members. Remember, multiple ways to take that to the next level here on this campus. So have a fantastic couple days, everyone, and I'll see you really, really soon. I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye for now.